Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of my good evening. Welcome to Wednesday evening's update programme. We'll take you through some of the main news today, including that situation at Peel Commissioners, which continues to dominate the headlines tonight. We're going to hear more about the claims that have been made and from those both backing and challenging them. We'll also tonight have the latest on the ongoing negotiations with Dublin Port as the steam packet explains why bookings for this year's sailings are still yet to open. What are the chances of a single person over here being allocated social or sheltered housing? It's a question that was raised in the House of Keys this week. And Site Matters delivers some equipment to the Joey Dunlop Foundation. We'll have that, the weather, the traffic and the travel. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can text 166 177. We'll start, first of all, though, as usual, with a roundup of the main news headlines with Amy Fastamai.
The deadline for the return of all services to Ramsay and District Cottage Hospital, scheduled for the end of April, has had to be pushed back a month. It's after an inspection found additional work was needed on the building and its underlying structure. The Infrastructure Minister insists single people waiting for either social or sheltered housing aren't being misguided about their chances of being allocated a property. Tim Crookall revealed there are currently 588 people in that category on the waiting lists, but only 73 have been given a home in the past three years, although not all local authorities have provided their data.
Yes, I absolutely have concerns like everybody else. There is an absolute shortage of housing. We're all well aware of that, and there's work going on to sort that out.
An MHK for Peel's thrown her support behind the commissioner at the centre of a row at the town's local authority. Kate Lord Brennan says Katrina Baptist, who raised concerns about governance, transparency and accountability at the town hall, deserves support. The local authority board says the matter will be subject to an internal investigation. The steam packet says ongoing negotiations with Dublin Port are the reason why bookings for this year's sailings haven't yet opened. Passengers have been telling Manx Radio they've been struggling to book their place to Ireland. Turning to international news now, and resident doctors in England are to strike for 6 days next month in an ongoing row over pay and jobs. The British Medical Association says it had been making good progress, but claims the British government began to shift the goalposts. Iranian state media is reporting that the country has rejected a US ceasefire proposal and has its own demands for an end to the war. Officials in Tehran have described a 15-point peace plan as excessive. And singer Duffy will reveal details of a kidnapping and sexual assault she suffered 15 years ago in a new Disney Plus documentary. It'll also explore her career, including her best-known single Mercy and life growing up in Wales. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Amy. Now, the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Another yellow weather warning this evening. That's for icy patches and wintry showers. Coming into force at 10, it's until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Because there is a risk of a few wintry showers continuing to affect the island this afternoon and evening, any accumulations, though, will be very slight, apparently. Overnight, it will become dry as clear intervals and light winds develop, leading to a risk of icy patches forming on any surfaces that are damp after that rain. Then tomorrow, dry and bright to start with, gradually though turning cloudy, outbreaks of rain or drizzle developing later. Light winds though for much of the day, settling to the south and freshening in the evening, and best temperatures on Thursday will be around 9. And then just looking ahead to Friday, a wet start, but it will soon clear up as sunny intervals develop.
If you're looking for supply only double or triple glazed units, make sure you visit the Manx Glass and Glazing showroom on the Stagborough Trading Estate, or call 674 573.
It's coming up to 5:05 here on Update. OK, you might need to buckle up for this one. We're going to take a look at that dispute at the Peel Town Commissioners. It's been continuing to unfold all day with fresh claims and counterclaims over what did and didn't happen at a recent meeting. Now, Commissioner Katrina Baptist has raised concerns about governance, transparency and how decisions are recorded, while Peel Town Commissioners has disputed aspects of her account. Well, former Commissioner and former MHK Hazel Hannan has now told us she supports Ms Baptist, suggesting they reflect her own experience in local government.
I mean, I have experience of asking a question about the way that the minutes were written, and only to be screamed at by the clerk because he accused me of asking the question all the time. You know, it's not the clerk's meeting, It's the commissioner's meeting, and it's the commissioner's to make sure that things are carried out. And the comments of Katrina just brought it back to me, the difficulties that I had. Now, the commissioners have responded, but in less than 24 hours, it seems incredible that they had a meeting at such short notice. In the response from the commissioners, and it is written by the clerk, and quoted standing orders, yes, they're not abided by, and the other documents also, I would say, are not abided by. The statement that Peel Town Commissioners have put out and said there will be an internal investigation, I would say it must be an external investigation into Peel Town Commissioners. There is a necessity by local authorities to have internal investigations because it keeps things quiet then.
That's former Commissioner and MHK Hazel Hannan. Well, there's also disagreement over whether a vote took place on a proposed beach stage in Peel. Peel Town Commissioners says no vote was held, but local Democracy reporter Emma Draper, who was at that meeting, has been reviewing her notes.
I do have my notes with me here from the meeting, and I'd also just like to preface this and say that the DOI Minister and Peel MHK, Tim Crookle, was also at the meeting as well. So there were two of us sat there watching the meeting unfold. They went through the agenda and they got to item six, which is recreation and events. And that is the committee that Miss Baptist is chair of. So she stood up, she said her piece. They spoke initially first about play areas, I believe, and some funding for some play areas. And then she said, and we now need to talk about the stage, the beach stage. So she said her piece about the beach stage, that they had got some quotes from some local companies. She said they'd approached Man in Music, a local business in the town who would be able to manage the stage. Christine Mockton, who's been on the board for a very long time, she quite clearly and categorically said she was against the proposal, but the rest of the board seemed fairly amiable to the idea. So the chair, Ray Harmer, took it to a vote and it was six in favour and one against. And he then wanted to redouble check the vote, so then redid the vote again where it was 6-1. So the vote carried.
That is local Democracy reporter Emma Draper. And as we just heard from her, the Infrastructure Minister Tim Crookle, MHK, was also at that meeting and he's given us his account of events.
Can I just ask you about the Peel Beach stage? You were at the meeting where the vote was taken.
I was, yeah. I'm surprised nobody else has asked me already. It was me and your colleague who sat there and listened to it all and went through it, yeah.
And it was, what, 6-1 in favour?
6-1 in favour of doing it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But now there's the implication that the vote wasn't taken. I mean, that's...
The vote was definitely taken. In fact, it was taken twice because the chairman, Mr. Hart, the chairman said all those in favour and they voted whichever way they did, and he said, can I just take a check on that? And again, it was 6-1.
So that is the Infrastructure Minister Tim Crookle, MHK, who is at that meeting. In a previous statement, Peel Town Commissioners described Miss Baptist's comments as inaccurate and confirmed it intends to carry out an internal investigation. We have asked the local authority for further comment on all the claims surrounding the meeting and calls for an external investigation. And among the names and voices weighing in on this dispute is Alan Jones, who's a former Peel Town Commissioner, and he's offered a different perspective as Christian Jones reports.
Alan Jones, who served for 17 years before stepping down last year, says he was surprised by the comments made by Katrina Baptist, suggesting they reflect disagreement with board decisions rather than wider governance issues. He says being a commissioner involves working collectively and accepting majority decisions, even where there is disagreement. Mr. Jones also defended the role of the town clerk, saying while the position carries influence, in his experience, decisions made by the board were followed. He further questioned criticism of local authorities more broadly, describing them as an important part of the island's democratic system. And he's encouraging a collaborative approach, saying effective local government depends on teamwork rather than individuals.
So that's Christian Jones just giving us Alan Jones's opinion on what happened. We have actually since spoken to Mr. Jones. You can find his interview on the website. And it's coming up to 5:10 now. In the past couple of hours, an MHK for Peel has thrown her support behind the commissioner at the centre of this row. Kate Lord-Brennan says Miss Baptist, who raised concerns about governance, as we've been hearing, is not really accurate and questioned why ratepayer funds have been used in the drafting of the Peel Town Commissioner's report. Miss Lord-Brennan says the town deserves better and businesses and residents in Peel just want things to work properly, to be delivered properly. One issue being focused on, she says, is the ongoing row of that beach stage. The commissioner's statement says a vote didn't take place, whereas Miss Baptist and others say it did. On that, Miss Lord Brennan says it's not about the beach stage. It's not about infighting and everyone being on the same page. It's much bigger. I expect there will be more to come on this. I only comment on it as there's concern in the town generally and repeatedly, in brackets, all the time, and I want to represent that view amongst everything else going on. I also, she says, know what it's like to have contrived and inaccurate statements come out from the town hall. Once the powers that be get their teeth behind the bit, they really go for it, and it's hard to get anyone to listen or even make sense. Well, we have contact with Peel Town Commissioners, the Chair, Ray Harmer, for comment in relation to this issue, and we have also invited Ms. Lord Brennan for an interview as well. Just gone 10 past five. Well, we've heard from the Isle of Man steam packet today about the issue which has seen passengers unable to book their place on ferries to Ireland. It says negotiations are ongoing at Dublin Port over berth slots, and we're told this is because circumstances outside of the port's control but related to recent issues with Holyhead's link span. Well, the steam packet has told us there is a lot of work going on behind the scenes to get the Dublin sailings over the line. It says it will issue a statement shortly and it's hoping to have an update on the sailings next week. Well, Mary in Onchan says her brother, who lives over in County Mayo, has plans to visit for the Manx Grand Prix with his friends.
When he tried to book the sailings, it keeps coming up no sailings on these days, even though the timetable is displaying those days and has been since about a few months now. So he got on to me. I tried and the same thing came up. So I did phone reservations and they told me that there was an issue, that they were still negotiating the times of sailings into Dublin Port. I can't understand why this timetable was published without having the definite timings. And my suggestion is that they just post a notice on the timetables to say that the sailings are still available, but they are not in a position to give the exact times at the moment. Otherwise, people are trying to get a sailing and it's giving the impression that there isn't a sailing that day and it's given alternatives like Larne or some other dates in on the Dublin sailings, which, you know, are way, way from the times they would want to go. Like March next year, I think, is one of the times given. It just doesn't tell people what's happening. And I think that people won't go back to the timetables again to try and book once they've tried and it's looking as they can't do it. If you live in Ireland, you don't know what's going on and you probably just give up on the idea of coming here.
What is it your brother makes of all this? Of course, he's got friends who are coming with him.
Well, he's rather embarrassed because he's been selling the island to them for a long time and they're eager to see it and see the races and everything, and they've booked decent accommodation. In fact, one of the people coming with them, one of the gentlemen coming with them, has relocated to Ireland from America through obviously things going on out there. And he's quite interested in looking at the Isle of Man to possibly put business into. All things like that will actually deter anyone from even thinking along those lines. I think it'll affect a lot of people that have got different reasons for coming here. You'll try once and you won't try again.
That's Mary in Onchan, whose brother, who lives in County Mayo, wants to book those steam packet sailings ahead of the Manx Grand Prix. I should say the steam packet has apologised to customers for any inconvenience caused, and we will, of course, bring you that further statement from the packet when it's issued.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Well, if we stay on travel and stay with the steam packet, then the Manxman due into Douglas at 5:45 this evening, heading out again for Heysham at 7:15. All looking good down at the airport this evening, and then around the roads on the Isle of Man, nothing specific to report, it's all the usual things that we're getting quite used to. Temporary lights at the bottom of Cuaig Hill and on Call Road near the business park. Also on Braddon Road, just up from Braddon Bridge in Castletown, still those lights between King William's College and the airport. And temporary lights in Castletown on the Malou Road at Great Meadow, that's 24 hours a day for wall repairs.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside, Quayside, 664417. Head to Quayside Tyres and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate. Quayside!
It's coming up to 5:15. The infrastructure minister insists single people waiting for either social or sheltered housing aren't being misguided about their chances of being allocated a property. Tim Crookall revealed there are currently 588 people in that category on the waiting list, but only 73 have been given a home in the past 3 years. However, this week he told the House of Keys his department doesn't currently receive data from all the island's local authorities, so it's not really a complete picture, but he does say he's well aware of the problem.
The department's housing agency collates some housing allocation and housing waiting list data from the local authorities on a quarterly basis. However, some local authorities do not share their data, so we do not hold a complete all-island data set. The data the department does hold indicates that 462 single people are on the waiting lists for public sector housing for general needs and 126 single people on the waiting list for sheltered housing. The department only holds data showing allocations of property to single people from its own housing stock and from the shared waiting lists for general needs public sector housing, which do not include all housing authorities. The data held by the department confirms 73 allocations were made in the last 3 years to single people from the shared waiting lists. Those figures relate only to allocations visible through the shared waiting list and do not include allocations made directly by authorities operating outside those arrangements. The data also does not include internal transfers where an existing tenant transfers from one public sector property to another. The department does not hold data for the total number of single applicants on waiting lists for the previous 2 years, as the information is a snapshot of time due to the fluctuations of applicants leaving and joining the list.
Has the Minister any concerns that if we've got almost 600 people on the waiting list at the moment who fall into this category of single people, and in the last 3 years only 73 from the same category have been given access to this type of accommodation, isn't there a major, major shortfall in availability and a issue in terms of once people go on the list that they're kind of being misguided by having any real hope of getting property?
Yes, I absolutely have concerns, like everybody else. I saw a few people nodding in agreement with the Honourable Member there, and I think we all have those concerns. But it's the same for every 1, 2, 3 and 4 bedroom house that we try to supply for those people that are needing of housing. And he knows the way the point system works to have those properties allocated. So there is an absolute shortage of housing. We're all well aware of that. And there's work going on to sort that out. When he mentions about people being misguided, I don't think anybody's misguided. When they join the housing waiting list, I think people are advised by whichever local authority or whoever it is they're going to. I think they are told exactly, you know, what the expectancy is. You know, we know how long, or the local authorities know roughly how long it is before somebody's likely to get a property allocated.
That's the Infrastructure Minister Tim Crookle in Keys this week. Now, a prolific Manx drug runner involved in importing more than £100,000 worth of cocaine and dropping packages outside the Isle of Man prison has been jailed for more than 15 years. Siobhan Fletcher has this report from BBC Isle of Man.
Hayley Williams's DNA was found in a package being smuggled into prison by an inmate as he returned from working in the garden. It contained 26 grams of MDMA, 3 grams of cocaine, 14 grams of ketamine and 2 SIM cards, and had been left at the entrance. Douglas Courthouse heard she was drug kingpin Jamie Smith's main runner and delivered drugs in her food delivery vehicle. She admitted offences including being concerned in importing cocaine. Deemster Graham Cook said the island was sick and tired of the amount of drugs getting in. He said a message needs to be sent out that it is not tolerated. The court heard that in the early hours of the 8th of May, Williams had bought 2 SIM cards at the EVF petrol station on Peel Road, which was captured on CCTV, before phone data showed she drove to Jerby and returned to her home address. Later the same month, Williams, off Springfield Road in Douglas, was found to be the driver of a silver Honda that picked up 2 men who'd come off the ferry from Liverpool in the central area of Douglas Promenade. She drove a short distance to the Palace Hotel car park and the 2 men got out of the vehicle. Covert officers who'd followed her found 2 bags of cocaine with a street value of between £55,920 and £111,840. Douglas Courthouse also heard a covert recording device placed in the hotel room of Jamie Smith between the 20th of October and the 19th of November 2023 revealed she was his main runner and a trusted lieutenant. In the covert recordings, Smith would refer to her as Hayley Escobar in reference to the Colombian drug lord Pablo Escobar. She was found to be involved in drug drop deliveries and collecting money on behalf of Smith, as well as storing and subdividing drugs at her home address and a secret location. The Deemster said you supplied 2 Class A and 1 Class B drugs to the prison, where they are like liquid gold and create further danger. Following her sentencing, Detective Inspector Jamie Tomlinson said she revelled in the position she'd been given by Smith, and she was prolific in the physical supply of controlled drugs for the period up to her arrest.
Siobhan Fletcher reporting. It's coming up to 20 past five, and this September the Isle of Man heads to the polls for the House of Keys general election. Eligible voters aged 16 and over will have the chance to choose the 24 MHKs who will represent their constituencies for the next 5 years. And as you know, in the lead up to polling day, we are bringing you as much information as possible about the candidates standing in your area. And you can find full coverage, including a link to our election mini site, on the Manx Radio website at manxradio.com. So as part of this, we are inviting every candidate to take part in the 2 minutes to tell us video, a chance for them to speak to you directly and explain in no more than 2 minutes why they deserve your vote. Well, Mark Firth, a new candidate, is standing in the constituency of Arbury, Castletown and Maloo, and this is his 2 minutes to tell us.
Fast am I, good afternoon. I'm Mark Firth, standing for Arbury, Castletown and Maloo. Having spent 25 years of my life on the island, I feel very connected to it as my home, and from that I place a high value on the prosperity of the island and its people. Being a mechanic, I've learned the value of practical problem solving, honesty, looking after people, and I believe in going the extra mile to make sure people are treated fairly. With a background in the music and performance scenes, I have a strong appreciation for the importance to support these communities and the island's heritage. If we don't protect them now, it could be near impossible to get them back. I'm standing in the 2026 election because I believe the island deserves representatives who are practical, approachable, and focused on helping people, who understand firsthand of hardships that many still have to endure. My key areas to tackle currently are government reform, education, the cost of living, housing and development, culture and tourism, energy reform and green living, travel and commuting. But I also want to hear your thoughts and ideas in the coming weeks as I get out to talk to you, so that we can build our future together. By standing in this election, I aim to break the trends in our currently elected officials that I see many of you have become discontent with. If we do not vote in new MHKs, then we cannot expect change from our government. Finally, please register to vote this autumn. Your vote can be your voice in this election, and you can vote for a better future on our island. I will then carry that voice into the House of Keys and Tynwald Chambers. Thank you to Manx Radio for giving me this chance to talk to you and giving me your time. Goramaya.
That is Mark Firth, a new candidate standing in the constituency of Arbury, Castletown and Maloo. You can watch that video, as I say, on the election mini site, which you can find at manxradio.com. And yesterday was 6 months until the general election, so now officially under half a year to go. If you are thinking about standing or you've decided to stand, you can also find the link on the website as to how to get in touch with us. OK, it's 22 minutes past five now. Coming up after update, we've got Spotlight. H is going to be hearing more about a Manx passport with a difference tonight, how to drag up your Easter more as a professional in the business from Manx actor Jonathan Io, and a poem about the little people from the Manx Bard. That is Spotlight at 5.30. You can also listen again as a podcast straight after the programme. Now, two charities have come together today in an attempt to make the lives of people with visual impairments that little bit easier. Sight Matters has provided the Joey Dunlop Foundation with some new kitchen equipment. Darren Timpson has been down there to speak with Dave Wilson, who's the Accessibility and Technology Officer for Sight Matters, and Bruce Baker, who's a trustee of the Joey Dunlop Foundation.
We're busy through the summer season, and we always try to improve our facilities, and last year we had some visually impaired guests, and when they left us some kind of like really good invaluable feedback on just some items to make their life a lot easier and things we hadn't really considered or thought of or knew that was out there. So I approached Sight Matters on the Alaman just to make sure I was getting the correct things, and they jumped on board and provided with what you see here now.
Would you be able to give us a bit of a rundown about what equipment we've got here? There's quite a lot. I see a talking microwave.
Yeah, so as Bruce said, we were approached initially just to help out and give a bit of guidance, but we were able to provide this equipment. So we've got some talking microwave ovens here. So these are brilliant bits of kit. They're very straightforward and simple to use. They have four buttons, which means people can control them correctly and make sure the food's cooked as it should be. We've got some one-cup hot water dispensers, so it means that it can safely and easily make hot drink. We've also got some talking induction hob. Brilliant little bit of kit there, so that they can pop a pan on there and control the temperature correctly on there. We've also got some liquid level indicators, which are another great little gadget, which means you can just make sure that a cup or a glass isn't overfilled, because if you make a mess, you've got to clean it up afterwards. And a few other little bits and pieces, some coloured mats for contrast, and some little pots that can go in the microwave, and a few other bits and pieces there that can help. So it really does make a difference. It means that somebody can independently nip into the kitchen, do these things nicely nice and straightforward and simply.
Bruce, do you think equipment like this shows another step forward for the Joey Dunlop Foundation?
It will, yeah, yeah. There's people there that would put the word out into their groups, and who knows, we might end up with lots more people visiting the island. It can only be a good thing for us.
That brilliant. Bruce Baker, a trustee of the Joey Dunlop Foundation, also Dave Wilson from Site Matters, both talking to Darren there. You'll be able to see a video about that on the Facebook page tomorrow. Speaking of Darren, he's here today with the sport brought to you by the Print Shed. Here an update.
Fast and we'll start in netball, where Castle Rushen High School have scooped three secondary school finals trophies, including the senior trophy. It's the 25th time the Southern School has won the senior event, with an 8-point win over King William's College. The Year 8s had a nervous 1-point victory against the same opposition, while the Year 10s also kept their head in a closely fought 14-13 win over QE2. However, they couldn't complete the full set, as Ballacameen beat Castle Rushen in the Year 9 final by 4 points. The competition ran from the 13th to the 23rd of March, with matches held at the Roundhouse and NSC, with all six schools taking part. In hockey, there's potentially two season-defining matches tonight. Valkyries face Vikings in the Ladies Premier League, where a win would see the Peel side stay in the title race. They currently sit third in the table on 11 points, level with backers, but crucially, they are 4 points behind Castletown. Valkyries also have a significantly worse goal difference and would need big wins in their remaining games. That fixture hits off at 8:30 p.m. at the NSC. Meanwhile, in the Men's Division 1, Castletown B need to beat Ramsey if they want to secure their place in the division for next season. They are currently fifth and 1 point ahead of Harlequins B, who have played one game more. 2 points would see Harlequins relegated despite what happens at the weekend. That fixture starts at 7:30 p.m. at the KWC. And FC Isle of Man have confirmed two fixtures have been changed in the NWCFL Premier Division due to clashes. The Ravens were scheduled to play Barnoldswick Town on the 31st of March and Chadderton on the 14th of April. However, the dates for those games have been swapped, with the away trip to Manchester now taking place at the end of the month and the match in Lancashire taking place in April instead. Both kickoffs remain at 7:45 p.m.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. You've been doing a bit of the commentary for the Ravens games. I mean, they're pretty close sometimes, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. The results don't always go their way, but they're always in the game.
You like to hear you shouting along with Rob as well. It's always good. It's very good.
He shouts more than me.
Just for now, yeah. Darren, thank you very much. That is all from Update this evening. As I say, for all the latest on today's top stories, head over to the Manx Radio website, and you can join us on social as well if you'd like to have your say about anything. Coming up next, as I mentioned, Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council with Howard Kane. Then Chris Kinley will be here at 6 with Greatest Hits. At 9, it's Country Roads. He's back with his tassels and his cowboy boots. Andy Wint will be with you at 9. And at 10, Dave Moore will be back with After Hours. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. Watch out for that yellow weather warning that comes into force at 10, and Update will be back with you at 5 tomorrow.